And so the Lord Jesus gathered a few facts, and he said to him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. And it was that struck as a knife to the heart of this father. Because as human nature does, we want to say, well, it's because of that the problem is. Now the focus was on him. If thou canst believe. And the tears swelled up in his eyes. His heart was bursting. Didn't know where to go or where to turn. And he had to confess that he did believe. He's not an unbeliever, but he wasn't really able to rely on the Lord as he should. That's the issue here. And that's often our problem.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and again we bring you the message of the gospel from the pulpit of our church here in Cloverdale, British Columbia, from the Free Presbyterian Church. Today we're going to be dealing with the text in Mark 9, Help Mine Unbelief. Unbelief is a terrible problem for any who professes the name of the Lord Jesus. When we get into a state of unbelief, there is no telling the depths, the despair, the defeats that we face. But when our faith is strong, then we are overcomers through the victory and power of the Lord within our hearts. Also on the program today, we will have a choir to sing for us, Abide With Me. And we have our question answer now. How should we use the Bible to determine the will of God? And as this is the beginning of a new year, we want to deal with this very issue, how to determine the will of God in a Christian's life. Never was there a more important subject to determine the will of God in our lives. Regrettably, many people use a random approach to the Bible. They open the Bible at random, and wherever the eyes fall or their finger first falls, they think that this is the will of God for them. You may have heard the story of the person who did exactly that with his Bible, and his finger fell on the text, he went and hanged himself. So he trembled and drew back, thinking there must be a wrong verse. So he tried it again, and his finger fell on the text, go thou and do likewise. Thankfully, the person gave up the random approach to determining the will of God, and so should we. The Bible is to be read consecutively, as you would do with any other book. As you grasp the history, the examples of godly and ungodly characters, God will teach you right from wrong, and what is his good pleasure, and what is contrary to his will. We're also to study the people of the Bible. Thus we determine their successes and failures by their ways. We want to take our cues from the godly manners of godly men rather than to follow the fleshly behavior of a Saul or a quitter like Demas. We're also to study the principles of the Bible. Principles or precepts are unflinching methods of God's dealing with his people. He honors them who honor him. That is a principle to be observed in any decision. God will also bless humility. He casteth down the proud, but he lifteth up the humble. We also know that pride cometh before a fall. To run into some man-centered scheme without humility is to flounder every time. We're to love the Lord our God with all our hearts and our neighbor as ourselves. This is the royal law. Whatever prevents or hinders us from loving the Lord and serving our fellow men, if that makes us arrogant and self-serving, we should recognize the pitfalls of such a situation. We should seek a situation that is agreeable with our Christian profession and our endeavor to walk humbly with the Lord our God. Now, we also are to study the promises of the Bible. And as we read the Bible consecutively, we come across many promises given to us by the Lord to his redeemed people. The Bible is a rich field of promises. What God promises, he will deliver. What he offers as a reward for certain service or obedience to his will, he will make good. For the Christian, decision time is Bible reading time. The more pressed we are to know God's mind, the more we need to read long portions of the Scriptures. We do so to find His will by following godly people in the Bible, finding God's precepts to guide us, and searching for God's promises. They are there in the Word for our learning and for our rejoicing in the leading of our loving Heavenly Father, who delights to be our guide, and He has sent the Holy Spirit to teach us, to guide us into all truth, and enable us to walk in the light of His Word. We do appreciate you joining with us here and Let the Bible Speak as we bring the message of the gospel. And now we turn to our hymn, Abide With Me. And I trust you'll stay with us right through the program today as we Let the Bible Speak.
Mark 9, and we're turning to the verse 24, the words of the Father with tears. Note the tears in the verse 24. This father whose son was so troubled, and the Lord said to him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. And this father with tears in his eyes said, help thou mine unbelief. I think this is a text for you and me today. Help my unbelief. There's no such thing on earth as a perfect worshiper. There's no such thing as perfect faith this side of heaven. In fact, in heaven, we won't need faith as we need it here, because then the things we hope for shall be seen, and we will have entered into that reward. But you know what I'm saying. Our faith is defective often. It's weak. And we need to pray like this, Father, help mine unbelief. I read the whole account starting verse 1 because I wanted you to notice the contrast between God the Father on the Mount Transfiguration and this Father down in the Valley of Tribulation. God the Father was able to speak of His Son as His beloved Son, in whom He was well pleased. This Father had tears in His eyes about His Son and pleaded for His healing. The Father in heaven gave commendation. The Father down below the mount, He was filled with frustration because Satan had entered into this young boy even when he was a young child. And since then he was troubled with awful convulsions, awful physical torment. The Father spoke of His Son as the one who would save the world. This father below the mountain had to report that his son was paralyzed, unable to set himself free. And so the father rightly took his case to the Lord Jesus, and with tears in his eyes, said, help mine unbelief. And so the Lord Jesus gathered a few facts, and he said to him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. And it was that struck as a knife to the heart of this father. Because as human nature does, we want to say, well, it's because of that the problem is. Now the focus was on him. If thou canst believe. And the tears swelled up in his eyes. His heart was bursting. Didn't know where to go or where to turn. And he had to confess that he did believe. He was not an unbeliever, but he wasn't really able to rely on the Lord as he should. That's the issue here. And that's often our problem. We believe the doctrines of the Bible. We believe the history of the Bible. We believe the Bible itself. We do not question God's Word. But often we fail to rely and trust in all that the Lord has given us. And how imperfect we are. I hope you're in agreement with what we learned last week, that the greatest thing we need in this year as a congregation of Christians here in Cloverdale, the greatest thing we need is faith. I'm back to this again. In fact, for those who were with us for our few evenings of prayer, this was the study for the Thursday evening. I'm back to this. And I want you to notice also the failure of the 9 disciples. The father had already taken the boy to him, and there was a great crowd gathering around. And when the Lord entered in, he said, well, what's happening here? Well, what's the questioning? And the father took his opportunity and said, this my son. And he described his case. But they can't do anything for him. And the Lord said to them, verse 19, O faithless generation. Could the Lord say that about us today? O faithless generation. And then the question to the Father, if thou canst believe. And now the confession of the Father. I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. I think we have to honestly face up to the fact that this is where we're at. We believe a whole lot, but our faith is very defective. We don't rely. We don't trust. We don't act in faith as we ought. And so I want to deal today with this question, help thou mine unbelief. What are the helps that God has given to counter our unbelief and to deal with the need of faith? Well, the Holy Spirit is the giver of faith. That's where faith comes from. The unregenerate person who's dead in trespasses and in sins has no faith. All men have not faith, the Bible says. The moment that faith begins is the moment of regeneration. When the Holy Spirit comes in quickening power, and that soul that is dead to God, dead to spiritual things, who cannot believe, is now given the gift of faith, the ability to consider God, to trust in God, and rely on God. And the Holy Spirit stirs that faith in the heart. It's like breath coming into the body. And breath brings new life so that the organs of the body begin to come alive. And conversion is about God giving men faith to believe the gospel of his Son so that they are born into God's family. And just as children are born with that first gasp of breath, that's how we're born into the family of God, the breath of the Holy Spirit. And every convert has the Holy Spirit. There's no such thing as a Christian being without the Holy Spirit. It's impossible to be a child of God without being born again or born from above. He's the giver, the author of faith. And every Christian needs to grow in faith, just as that infant needs to grow, needs to expand its lung power. And you and I need to grow in faith. And that again is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He empowers, he strengthens, he fills us with faith. When they were looking for deacons in Acts chapter 6, they chose a man called Stephen, full of faith and the Holy Ghost. Note those two things going together. Faith and the Holy Ghost. And the more of the Spirit that we have in our souls, the stronger will be our faith. And vice versa, the weaker our faith, the less of the Holy Spirit we enjoy in our souls. One, or the lack of one, is the telltale sign of the lack of the other. Faith and the Holy Ghost, they go together. In Ephesians 5:18, the Apostle Paul says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. You'll notice that there is an allusion there to the analogy, drunkenness, or a Spirit-filled life. And you know in Acts 2 that when they were out speaking, the preaching the gospel in other languages, people says, these men are drunk with new wine. And there is a correlation between what appears happens to a man when he's inebriated with alcohol and when a Christian is living in the fullness of the Spirit. When a person's under the influence of alcohol, they're bold. You say that the Spirit takes over, that's the alcohol taking over. And the person who is meek and quiet can suddenly be loud and bold. It's under the influence of the alcohol. He's got a power that's beyond his normal strength. Let me tell you, that's the same when you're filled with the Spirit. When you have the anointing and the indwelling and the empowering of the Holy Ghost in your soul, there will be a spiritual boldness that you'll become a new person, exhibiting new strength and new abilities. And others will take note and say, this verse is different. Now, there are obviously contrasts as well. Person under the influence of alcohol usually loses control. They hardly know what they're saying, hardly know where they're stepping. They lose balance. On the other hand, the Christian gains control, greater control. The control of the Holy Spirit enhances the control of the Christian so that you know the words to say, so that you know the step to take. The Holy Spirit is our guide, and we know with greater clarity. We have better judgment when we are under the influence of the Spirit. Paul said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. And we all know the excess of alcohol, the carnage, the foolery, the stupidity of it. But when you're under the influence of the Spirit of the living God, there is a wisdom, a profitability. It's the opposite to the prodigal. The prodigal's the waster. The Christian, in walking in the Spirit, in the will of God, he's redeeming his time. He's walking in the light. He's doing the Master's will.
Thank you.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, and we thank you for joining with us on the program today. If I can be of any personal help, if you would like to receive CDs of these messages, magazines, a copy of Matthew's Gospel, perhaps you have friends, family you'd like to share these with, we have a number free of charge, courtesy of Trinitarian Bible Society. And, of course, we would love to help you with having you joining us here at our church services, viewing our webcast by computer, and all this information you can get at our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca, or call us at 604-576-1091. The address of our church, for those who wish to visit or meal, is 18790 58th Avenue, Cloverdale, B.C., V3S1M6. We look forward to having you. I trust you'll stay with us for the rest of the program and for the announcements at the close. We'll give you these details again. May the Lord bless you today through His Word from the pulpit ministry of our Free Presbyterian Church.
And earns the well done of the Heavenly Father. And so the Holy Spirit is our helper to stronger faith. Do you pray for the Holy Spirit to fill you? This is the great need in the Christian life. If we've got this Father's prayer, help my unbelief, then you've got to be praying, fill me with the Spirit each and every day. If you want to be a man or woman of faith, you can't afford not to walk in the Spirit and be daily filled with the Spirit. They go together. A Christian needs to seek the infilling of the Spirit daily. Do you believe that today? Do you agree with that? There are some people who say, but this is excitable Christianity. This is not Presbyterian Reformed doctrine. This is biblical. This is biblical. This is the Word of God speak. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's the answer to the deadness, the lack of faith that we have. And if your prayer is like this, Father, and if you are as burdened about walking a life of faith as this Father was, if you've got the tears of concern in your very soul, here's the answer. Be filled with the Spirit. Are you doing that? Are you really doing that? That's the first and foremost requirement. Then prayer is the oxygen of faith. This Father says, help thou mine unbelief. This is a prayer. Help thou mine unbelief. And faith here really is the ability to rely upon the Lord. The Father was desperate enough to turn to the Lord in tears, but he confessed that his heart had difficulty focusing. He had difficulty accumulating the strength to focus in real, powerful faith. And that's what faith really is. It's about focusing on the Lord. It's about looking onto Jesus. You remember Peter walking in the water when he kept his eyes on the Lord and he was focused on the Lord, he could do it. But the moment that he looked down, he lost it. So faith is about focusing on the Lord. And the way to keep that faith is to pray. Pray, pray, pray. Seek, ask, knock, and it shall be filled unto you. Now, this is the very gasp of the Christian's cry for more faith. Communion with God is our very life-giving spirit of faith. You'll notice down in verse 29, the Lord, he at the end of the whole story, when the boy was cured and delivered from his malady and the spirit that was in him and raised to wholeness, you'll notice the answer to the whole matter was, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. And this is the oxygen of faith. This is how it operates. I want you to do a little experiment with me. Stop breathing for a minute. Just sit still and don't breathe. What'll happen? You'll start to get dizzy. You can't function properly. In fact, there are conditions where people just stop breathing. Sleep apnea. There's other conditions where those involuntary muscles stop working properly, and people have to consciously force themselves to breathe, or they need some kind of mechanical help to breathe. When people are under surgeries, this can happen, where those muscles and the nervous system that gives us the involuntary breathing, they shut down due to the surgery process and the drugs, and so they need to be kept breathing. Now, what happens when you stop breathing? Can't function. The oxygen to the blood system shuts down, your brain loses it. That's what happens to the Christian that doesn't pray. You lose focus. You lose power with God. How does it work? Well, I'm not going to get into all the intricacies of how the oxygen is taken from your breath into your lungs and sent through, you know, the blood system to your body. And some people may ask me, how does this faith life work through prayer? How can you tell me that prayer will make a difference? Let me tell you, it works every time. It works. And the Christian that's not praying will be weak in faith. The Christian that knows power with God in prayer knows the power of faith. There's a reason why the Bible emphasizes this so much. There's a reason why the Lord Jesus taught his disciples to pray. He gave them that Lord's Prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven, a model prayer. Are we using it? Do we not realize that as we pray, we are getting the life, the spiritual life of God into our souls? And we are exhaling the very poison, the CO2 of our souls. We're getting new life every time we breathe in the spirit of prayer. In John 15, where you have the branch and the vine, the Lord says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you shall ask what you will. That's the faith life. That's the connection between prayer and the power of faith.
This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Call me, please, at 604-897-2040. For all the details of our broadcasts across Canada, go to ltbs.ca.
This broadcast comes to you today from the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, located at 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you can find gospel articles, links to our sermons, a gospel booklet called A New Beginning, and a link to watch our services online. You're warmly invited to attend any of our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. to meet with us as we worship God and to hear the preaching of His precious word. We also meet for Bible study and prayer every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Our Sunday School for Children and Adult Bible Class meet every Lord's Day at 9:30 a.m. from September to June. You can contact us at 604-567-1091. Alternatively, you can email me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Again, for all this information, please visit our website at cloverdalefpc.ca. Our burden is that you will hear and understand the gospel that will bring you to know the Lord Jesus Christ and His great salvation. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to listen Monday to Friday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our one-hour church service, as we worship the Lord through the ministry of His Word.